what we're dealing with his voters is just the last death rattles of the old white men's club that's just struggling to hang on. I'm really keeping my fingers crossed that that's what this is.
Welcome, old listeners, new listeners, however you found us. This is somewhat of a return to this podcast. So there has been a long hiatus with a few random episodes strewn throughout, and this is sort of the last of that hiatus, an interlude, if you will, between season two of our podcast and season three. And the content at the top of the show, where we like to talk about a few current things or other things outside The Simpsons, is really, if you have to look at it from a perspective of, this is, we're now sort of in the dystopian future, and you are the child who was born and lived in that and never knew the beautiful times before, but crossing the desolate wastelands of the post-Armageddon society you live in, you come across this trinket or this time capsule, and you get to hear that there was joy in the world and there was hope in people's eyes, and it fills you with hope. So this podcast was recorded last October. You'll find out real quick, it was shortly after a certain video came out during a certain presidential campaign. And I don't need to speak more about this episode itself. All you need to know is, moving forward, we will have more current episodes after the next one, because it's also been sitting on the shelf for about a month. But that's not that long. And then we're into season three. We're finishing it out. We're finishing out our top 50 countdown of the Simpsons episodes that we thought were the best, when we threw together a list about 2.5 years ago without having rewatched any of them. And we're now rewatching. So for this podcast episode, we watched season 5, episode 4. That's Rosebud. And on our countdown, it is rank number 12. So enjoy this blast from modern history past. And I'm Josh, one of your hosts. This is Still Life with Simpsons.
What have we become?
We've given the word mob a bad name.
Are you wearing some sort of Outback hat? Are you wearing a bonnet?
My hairdo. Hang on, I can't see what I look like.
What's tied around your neck?
Yo, bonnets are so in style.
Is it bonnet season?
It's bonnet season, finally. I've been waiting all year for bonnet season, and we finally made it. No, that's just my headphones acting crazy.
Oh, that makes... That is way more the logical answer than
really dark
season.
In here. This headphone is crazy.
Nope. That's a way better answer than mine. I should have jumped to that rational conclusion way faster.
Well, bonnet season's good. It's been good to us.
Yeah.
They were wearing bonnets for a minute. Did you see that?
Who's they?
I don't know. We are a fashion people that
the
think
kids?
They're funny. And
the normies?
Fashionable.
The normcores?
Something like that.
The normcores are doing bonnets now?
Oh, it was like last spring.
Are they taking on Mennonite farmers?
There were some people wearing bonnets.
Oh, yeah.
There were some fashion party girls in Bushwick wearing bonnets for a minute.
God, you guys... I miss Bushwick.
Are you guys recording?
Yes.
This is it. Jack had a...
Yes.
What was Jack trying to ask about? And we told him to wait.
Was that guy Ken Bone? Does anyone know?
I don't know who Ken Bone is.
Who's
we
Ken
don't get
Bone?
All the hot internet news out in Jersey. Oh, no. Ken Bone, he was in the debates.
I didn't.
Fat guy at the debates.
We chose in this household. We chose rationality and peace and calm of Lin-Manuel Miranda on SNL over the debates last night.
Oh, nice!
It was
interesting.
A much better decision.
Well, did you watch the first one? Why did everybody watch the first one and not the second one?
Because sequels are bullshit.
Oh, good point. But it's going to be a trilogy. So this is just the dark. This is
the dark chapter. Holy
like the first
fuck.
One are you was kidding pretty me? Exciting. The second one? The first one, it was like, he's going to implode. And he did. And it was fun. And the second one, I
it's
don't
like,
know
there's,
what
there's no
last
hope
night.
For any. We all already lost.
It's like the darkest trilogy of all time.
Our mother flew into town today. They landed at the airport in my town to drive home. And that was the conversation I had with them. I had to explain to my mother that Donald Trump thinks it's okay to grab women by their genitals. I had to explain that to our mom, who missed the weekend's news cycle.
Oh, she missed it what? I can't believe she missed that.
So she was asking me to explain to her what he said. And like, where do you even start, first of all? And so I was trying to get to that line. And our dad's there, and he got it a lot sooner. And just starts shaking his head. And she's like, was it a B word? Was it an A word? And I was like, P word. And she's like, what?
Like cats.
And our dad just starts shaking his head and leans over her and goes, pussy.
Oh, no!
My dad said the P word.
Donald Trump made your dad say it.
I hate this.
So I went on to continue the conversation that it doesn't matter how many votes he gets. It doesn't matter if he wins. We've all already lost. The fact that we made it that far is we lost.
Did,
all of us.
The one benefit is we have been graced with a brand new, fully functional, grade A nuclear curse. Which is, God knows when the last time someone came up with one of those.
What?
Cuck? Cuck? Have you heard this? You know this?
Oh, yeah. You're being a cuck.
Fantastic. You're being a real cuck right now.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, like, I heard some, I forget where I heard it, but someone did like a, I don't know, etymology is not the right term.
Can I see him?
But that's kind of right.
Like a breakdown of like how, yeah, like how curse, like curses in general, like the archetype of the curse and like why it was so like something with the like the phonetics of all of our curses have this really aggressive and like it lights up this part of the brain.
Yeah.
And cuck is a brand new Mormon, like it's like the Mormon church breaking into like the real religion game.
Is that who
is that
came
level
from?
Of significance?
Oh,
no,
oh,
I hope
okay.
so.
No, it's from Shakespeare.
The Mormons came
cuck?
Up with cuck.
It's a no, it's from
the
cuckold.
Well, I
yeah,
know that.
That's true.
So,
oh, I see.
You know what the best part about it is? I think it's probably the first swear that 100% of the people it's been used against have been proud.
What?
What?
Because if you're being called that, it means you're arguing with a douchebag. So you're like, I'm glad this person doesn't like me. I think 100% of the people that word's been used against have had that reaction. I can't
so
imagine reacting to it any other
cucks?
Way.
Who are cucks?
It started as a cuckservative. So it was like alt-right, which I'm fucking fascinated by. Really like
it's really into
it. It's really great.
It's terrifying.
Oh my god, it's awesome. Just before we started, I was reading an article about how they're all getting mad at each other for not being white enough. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really, really fascinated by this. But yeah, they would call each other cucks. Cuckservatives.
Yeah. Because they're not, like, alpha male enough.
Who?
Yeah, or like, yeah.
Yeah, so,
and they're into the Matrix.
But they call other
oh my
conservatives.
God, it's so great.
Of course. course that's their favorite movie.
You red pill, dog. Matrix now. You goddamn cook.
So a cook is a person who's not as conservative as you are.
The fact that, okay, so let's put it this way. No.
It's a conservative.
No, it's about, it's like.
Insult.
It's like the new form of, like, it's like a, from a Mennonist to a non-Mennonist, a men's rights, you know, so.
Men's rights.
So,
oh,
for example, like.
Yes!
Because.
Shaking my head.
Just by nature of the fact that I don't think it's okay to that. I don't think that if you get enough money, you can just grab women's genitals. That makes me a cuck to them. That's how you would use that.
No, it's just locker room talk.
The fact that I don't think that's locker room talk.
You know what women talk about in locker rooms?
You know what men talk about in locker rooms? Nothing. You just want to get changed and get out.
Oh, really?
You do? Yeah. You're just like, this is... There's a stigma of nobody wants to be the one that gets stuck talking to the old man with his balls hanging out and one knee up on the bench who decides that's a great place to talk.
What about when you're on a team?
No, you just change and go.
You need to change sports if you're playing with an old saggy beanbag old man.
It's good to have Jack back in the mix, by the way. Welcome back to Jack. I haven't heard anybody say beanbags on here in months.
So anyway, classic catchphrase.
I think Steph
had
a question.
Mostly talk about periods.
I know. This show has gotten way too cuck without Jack's masculinity and alpha male attitude.
Get ready to get red pilled.
So that's what I did today.
Here's my new theory. Everybody knows Obama did 9/11. It's a given.
We like to talk about how people did stuff these days.
Obama is Osama.
Josh did Benghazi.
Oh, you did?
Oh, no. Did I?
Did I? How about this? Hillary.
Well, I said you did.
I knew I forgot to do something that day.
Check this, truth bomb. Hillary is Osama. Boom. Think about that one.
I'm confused.
I don't know.
Hey, you can't
because
while you're on a podcast.
Yes, I can.
Oh, no, the reason being.
Stop.
Well, I get it because Killary and Laden both have an L and an A next to them.
Right.
Truth bomb.
Truth bomb.
Infowars.net.
Oh my god. Oh my god, it's so great. Everything about it is so great.
I appreciate the nihilist in you loving this for what it is. I was having a conversation today that I was just like, you know what? Like, I'm just gonna trust that these people who are still hanging on and willing to vote for Donald Trump after every Republican has denounced him. They've denounced their own party's candidate. Every newspaper he hasn't got a single newspaper endorsement. And the media has finally got to the point they're like, okay, we don't have to be fair to this guy anymore. There's nothing to be fair to. So all that's happened that's so great. Okay, what we're dealing with his voters is just the last death rattles of the old white men's club that's just struggling
that's a good way
to hang
put
on.
It.
I'm really keeping my fingers crossed that that's what this is. And another generation or two, hopefully not another two generations, but another election or two, and we're just done with it. And it's.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's the only hope I can hold for after.
A lot of people getting pretty red pilled out there.
All right, shut up, politics.
Okay, yeah.
Shut up.
That shit out of here.
Mostly focusing on the Matrix aspects of this political season.
Speaking of old references, let's get into this episode of The Simpsons.
It's an old Simpsons with old references.
They were really old. Wow, they felt so much older now.
I was like too tired to get them too. find it funny, maybe? I don't know.
Has any living person seen George Burns in something other than a parody?
Not of this generation.
I was trying to put that together. I was like, what the fuck is
nobody
this?
Nobody my age or younger.
All right, so let's contextualize.
If we're just counting the three of us.
So 3 out of 3, that's 100%, which represents the entire generation. No one knows who George Burns is. But let's step back, contextualize for a second. We watched, what was it? Season 5, episode 4, Rosebud. This is number 12 on the countdown. There's not many of these left.
Wow.
How disappointed we put this in number 12.
Really? Okay. Well, so they open with basically as close they can, shot for shot, reimagining of the opening of Citizen Kane, which I watched once because I had to in a film studies class 10 years ago. And
the veracity at which people stick to that Citizen Kane is the greatest movie of all time.
It's just
getting
not.
Infuriating at this point.
It's no Matrix. Let's
it's no
we can
Matrix.
Be fair to it that way.
Is it number one? I think it's number one.
It
and
always
Casablanca's
is
number,
one. Number
two.
It's always number
Which
one.
I'm like, how is this movie better than Casablanca in any way, shape, or form?
And here's the thing.
Although,
just because Orson, it's like Orson Welles, you know, Oscar after at like it's his Leo Oscar like 10 years after being awesome.
So like I get that he reinvented film or he invented filmmaking and like you have to recognize huge steps in progress, but I feel like if that's the case then shouldn't Train coming at camera be number one of all time?
But should it not being effing boring, like counting it's, there somewhere?
Yeah, yeah. It's by the same standards, Birth of a Nation should be number one, which is an absolute atrocity and embarrassment to our culture and society.
We're not talking about the one coming out this month. We're talking about...
No, that's... I think the point of that movie is to sort of reclaim that name, because I think it's about... I could be wrong because I know this movie's coming out, but I don't know if it's that
it's
one.
Nat Turner's Rebellion, right?
Okay, good. I'm. That's 2 out of 2,
sure.
So we must be right. Because that's all what right. I think. I think it's that movie, right?
I think, yeah.
And that's cool. I think it's about reclaiming the name. Because you know the original one, right?
Yeah, it's
I've
not good.
It.
It's about like the rise of the KKK, but like pro-KKK. And it's 3 hours long.
There's blackface.
Yeah. But it's the first full-length feature film ever made.
Oh.
And okay. The reason we still adore terrible. Citizen Kane is because it's the first basically big-budget feature film where they actually stopped and thought about, like, oh,
the Avengers of the 1920s?
Yeah, yeah. So you basically take Ant-Man and... Put that in the
God,
40s.
How did Paul Rudd get onto that gravy train? Jesus.
Yeah, he really had to smooth talk something.
Dude, did you see Ant-Man?
No.
Unbelievable.
How bad it is?
Oh, my God.
All right, we'll come back. Rosebud.
So, okay. So we open with that scene, and it's just straight up named after the, like, clinch... what is that, a spoiler from Citizen Kane, the Rosebud thing?
Yeah, I guess so. The original spoiler.
God, what else did we have that they threw at us in the first 5 minutes? A George Burns reference?
Right.
Who was Monty Burns' brother.
Was Spirit of St. Louis flight? Spirit of St. Louis?
The Lindbergh,
which I know is
Charles Lindbergh?
Right, okay.
Which is like, okay, I... Vaguely
Hitler's
know who that
bunker
is.
Suicide.
The what suicide?
Hitler's bunker suicide. Oh, Hitler's suicide.
But that's at least something that, like, you know.
That was later.
People are always going to remember that. People are always going to know
mean,
who Hitler
that's
is.
True.
That's a good reference. There's something about his roast. Who
so
was.
So, in that same sense, like, anything with brand recognition is getting made into a feature length movie, i.e., Troll Dolls. Are you saying we're due for a Hitler movie? Straight up, just name recognition.
You think the brand of Hitler is ripe for profit now? I think we're about ready for a Teddy Ruxpin movie.
Oh, it's coming.
It's just going to be about an army of broken robot bears
that
become sentient.
Is there anything worse than troll dolls? Like, is there like anything lower on the totem pole?
A movie about them?
Skittles? Well, they made an M&M's. Oh, they're doing M&M's.
I don't know. I don't know if they already did or it's done.
They're definitely,
but...
it's in production.
Oh, I got it.
M&M movie is in production. I'm pretty sure about that.
I've got it.
What?
Beanie Babies movie.
Beanie Babies would be good.
Beanie Babies.
The damsel in distress is, of course, the Princess Di Purple Heart. Or purple with the heart beanie baby that they're trying to rescue.
What about that, like, green sticky hand you can get out of the egg machine at supermarkets?
Green sticky hand the movie.
I just got up to that.
I don't need anything else.
That's got to, and the best part is it has to be what,
I think that's what Idle
Creative
Hands
Commons,
was.
Right? It can't be, this be like a happy birthday movie.
Well, it's, I think the conflict is really easy. It's about, whether or not to tarnish one's, you know, body and like, because a sticky hand lives to be stuck on things, to be thrown at things and stick on things.
Right.
You know what a sticky hand
No,
lives?
But here's the thing. As soon as it starts to be used, it gets covered in hair.
Yeah, that's right.
So is it more beautiful to be used and covered
story.
In hair? Exactly.
That's a fucking classic.
Or to be a pristine, clean, unboxed toy.
No, that's the thing, is you can't avoid.
So losing your virginity story.
Yeah, this is a coming of age story.
Exactly. So it's all a metaphor for losing your virginity.
We all remember getting our first pee.
Life lessons.
Steph was going to say something. I interrupted to finish the plot of Sticky Hands, the movie. Back to references. Ramones.
Why the Ramones?
I was actually
I was like, it was the first time in my life I was like annoyed to see the Ramones.
There are several fine young men who I'm sure are gonna go far. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ramones.
These minstrels will soothe my jangled nerves.
I'd just like to say this gig sucks.
Hey, up yours, Springfield.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm trying to figure out if they were popular enough that people knew, like, oh, that's the best, most opposite band you could get for Mr. Burns' birthday?
It was the 90s.
Was that dude still alive back then?
But also, the Ramones.
Yeah, it was all them.
I also just don't... I would think, like, the Sex Pistols or something. Like, the Ramones are, like...
Well, not enough of them were alive. So there's that.
But it's a cartoon. That doesn't matter.
Well, they all played themselves. It was an actual guest star role.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't figure out if they actually played the song, though. Everything I looked at just said it was them. It didn't say if the music was them. I would assume so. Otherwise, some nerd would have figured that out. Anyway.
I don't know. I thought they were supposed to be super obnoxious, and I never think of the Ramones as being, like, a super gritty punk band. I just think of them as being, like, Ramones.
I just think of Rock and
Roll
High School.
It's like super poppy and fun. Yeah.
And this would have been a few years after Rock and Roll High School. And I think that was kind of their...
It would have been like at least 10 years after that.
But that was the gist of that movie. Like, you know, people like rats' heads would explode if they heard them and adults hating it.
Okay, so it would have been better in like a school episode to like piss off the principal in a school episode.
Yeah, I gave them an A+.
You thought they had A+?
Yeah, right there.
I'm just grouchy because I'm tired. And I mean, like, what's wrong with me about not being excited about the Ramones being on The Simpsons? What's wrong with me?
Yeah, that's pretty great. There was, like, another, just within the roast, there was another reference I couldn't put my finger on. I don't know if either of you can help me with this. But his face drawing on the background, I feel like, was supposed to be an homage to whoever originally hosted the comedian roasts. Because it was definitely a very specific style, like Merv Griffin or Dean Martin or something, like had a backdrop like that. And that was just like super irrelevant. Yeah, who's...
But
I
was
know.
Like, I'm... So I don't know what that...
The only thing I can
exactly.
recall it from is if you bought like a best of Louis Armstrong. They had these like best of jazz musician
CDs,
it's and it would be in that style. It must be from a certain era. Yeah, probably.
Oh. Super New Yorker like.
There's another.
Is it Scott Adams?
I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
Dilbert, the guy who did Dilbert?
No,
I don't think so.
Definitely not.
No, not the guy that did Dilbert.
The right-wing luminary, Scott Adams.
That's that was Jack's favorite cartoon when he was a kid.
I fucking love Dilbert.
I think
I
did
11,
too.
And I fucking...
Office humor.
I loved office humor. I even tried to write. I was like, I love cartoons. What are cartoons about? They're about office humor. I'm 11. I guess I'll start writing an office humor cartoon. I did. I wrote an office humor cartoon book.
Me and all my friends were into comics too, and we all loved Dilbert. What what context did we have for office humor?
Oh man, it was so great.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's a nod to the severe lack of content that was around. I'm serious.
That's a good point.
Because I love humor and I love jokes and stuff. And, like, you'd get one, like, even, like, I like Todd Barry and, like, Dave Attell and stuff. And Dave Attell has been doing comedy for 30 years and he has one CD.
Yeah.
What, like, 45 minutes of stuff.
Oh,
so
and
you,
I...
like, get your parents to buy you some CD. And it was 40 minutes and it was over. Right? And, like, so what else did you have? The fucking cartoon book? Like the newspaper?
You had...
Like, that's it. That's
you had
it.
365 days of Dilbert from your Dilbert day calendar that
exactly.
you bought at the school book fair.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's absolutely true. Maybe that's why people thought this was funny back then.
I guess, because... Well, okay, there are some great bits that are in there after we get through some of these things that are not as timeless as we hoped they were. The last one is they're trying to name an edgy comedian for the Burns roast, and they bring up Sinbad.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Sinbad is their point of reference for a current edgy comedian. That's how out of date this is.
Sinbad had his day for sure.
He did. But it didn't last that long. Like, Sinbad's no Chris Rock.
That's true. When was this made?
October 21st, 1993.
Oh, wow. Why am I so wrong?
That's pre Chris Rock.
Slick right? Willie Clinton, I guess, had to finish another term of his presidency.
Right. Oh, yeah. They did the one
birthday party.
The one term president joke.
I wasn't sure if that was Bill Clinton or who's the other guy that did one term in the 70s?
Bush.
George H.W. and Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, I thought,
out
was it Jimmy Carter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was, I thought you meant
the,
it was
the alive Nixon really threw me off.
Alive Nixon and Reagan.
Ooh, how about the first robot with a head by...
Oh, yeah. I think that's why Nixon wasn't so weird to me, because I've used to seeing his head in a jar in Futurama. And then at the end of this episode, you're right.
Burns' head is in a jar, and he's a robot 2,000, 3,000 years in the future.
Oh,
yeah, or it was like 10 million years, I think, or something like
Matt
that.
Matt Groening's first dead guy in a jar joke.
I always forget that he did this show. How much input did he actually have?
At this point in the show, I think he was just kind of like, I haven't watched enough commentary to fully understand, but I feel like his job was just pop in the writer's room and be like, what are you guys doing? Okay, yeah. That's cool. We can run with that. Like, I don't feel like he had
that's
a whole
a
lot of
gig.
Input. I know. I need to figure that one out. So that stuff all kind of sucked and was pretty not as timeless as I would hope it would be. That's fine, but...
What did you like so much?
There's a lot of good details in this one. Okay, probably the best part of the show. Let's just jump into this. Is Burns trying to break into their house using the suction cups.
And that Homer, was awesome.
Homer walks in and eats 64 slices of American cheese.
64 slices of American cheese. 64. 63. Two, one.
Have you been up all night eating cheese?
I think I'm blind.
Good day to you.
And it just, you kept getting one more nugget of the joke. They're just, it was like feeding you crumbs all the way. This, the specificity of him eating 64 slices of American cheese. Then him being up all night and Marge walking in on him asking if that's what he was doing. And then Burns falling off the ceiling and just saying good day and leaving. It's just like every couple seconds you got an extra little nugget and it built on itself. That was a really good bit all across the board.
I like the one where they get stuck in the they Wile E. Coyote it and get stuck in the middle of the zip line.
Yeah,
that was good.
There's a lot of little good ones. So that I liked a lot.
That's a good physics joke. I'm really keyed into some physics jokes right now.
There's something The Simpsons always does well, and I always bring up that they do well with the kids, is mobs.
Mobs.
Always really well done on this show, especially early on. And I forget if it's the doctor or Principal Skinner that somebody says something about giving mobs a bad name. They say, yeah, we're giving mobs a bad name after they broke into their house and tried to take the bear by force. And then you're just like, wait, mobs? Generally, if you're talking about a mob, it's not a good thing. And then they go, let's go sing at the hospital. There's a lot of good stuff in this one. I think it was a really great episode.
All right. You're convincing me.
I'm surprised you say that because it didn't have top tier... It had some good jokes, but not top-tier jokes, but it didn't really seem to have that squishy, molten core that you guys seemed to like. There wasn't like a good lesson, or like a good heartfelt something.
He threw out $1 million and 3 non-leper islands to make his kid happy. That's pretty...
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, okay, if Pete Rose Jr., officially naming this baby right now,
I thought we're sort of settling on Crumb.
Like Victor?
So, like, I guess, yeah. Like the cartoon?
I'm talking about Victor Crumb, the champion Quidditch player.
Oh, no, I was thinking more of like a muffin piece.
I was thinking about the sidekick in Danger Mouse.
Penfold.
No, oh no, Danger Mouse always says, oh, Crumbs, Pinfo.
Yeah, and the sidekick's Pinfo, right?
Crumbs.
Yeah.
So, what was I saying? I was talking about Pete Rose Jr., that little parasite kicking around in your belly. You're saying if Pete Rose Jr. had a favorite teddy, you wouldn't have some heartstrings tugged? If somebody offered you a lot of money for it,
okay. Here's
I'm gonna make
problem.
A man out of that boy. First thing to making a man, get kid to love something. Second phase, burn said thing. Third stage, teach him how to hit lefty.
Shorter distance to the base. Very smart.
Today we found out there's this baseball. Something that this Jack is, follows.
This proves I'm a true artist.
What? Yeah, and it has a graphic of a baseball player hitting a like letter getting shot out of a baseball mail, like a mailbox.
An envelope being shot out of a mailbox.
Yeah. That's supposed to be at home plate.
It's a baseball player hitting a baseball into a mailbox. It's for MLB Trade Rumors, which is one of my favorite websites.
Is it their contact us link?
Yeah, it is. And every week they post, like, it's like a mailbag section. So every week on Twitter they post a little picture they made of a guy hitting a baseball into a mailbox.
So every week,
for like the last, like, 6 months.
Responds. All he responds is, the mailbox is too close to the hitter.
I've been doing it. I'm the only one who ever comments on it. And I always say, that mailbox is way too close to the plate.
You're the only person that comments?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sad.
Maybe you're the only one reading it.
It's a pretty popular website. Lots of great rumors out there.
But
that's my little art project.
That's a really great piece of sort of living performance art.
Yes. I enjoy it.
Like, there's archives of it living over time and not going anywhere.
And the best thing is the only thing I have ever done on Twitter. So there's just, I have like 50 comments of me saying, that mailbox is too close to the plate. Someone's going to get hurt.
They probably think you're a bot.
That's the best Twitter account. I've never been able to figure out what Twitter is for. I think you did it. You finally figured out what Twitter's for. I think that's also in some ways the definition of insanity, retweeting the same thing every week and expecting different results.
And the best part is I know there's like one social media intern who puts it up every week and he's like, this motherfucker is the only one who ever reads it. We don't have it in the budget to change it. I know the mailbox is too close to the home plate. It's a small format medium.
What are you going to do if they change it so that it's to scale properly, but they don't give any credit or reason why?
Why is that mailbox so far from home plate? The best is people have started liking it, and some people have started pointing out other things wrong in the picture. Like one guy started saying,
"It's growing."
Like,
that kind of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, well, a little bit.
I like the idea of it just sitting there.
I've been doing it for a long time. I deserve a little recognition.
How long have you been doing this?
Like 6 months.
That's really good.
I'm so glad I married you.
What better use of your time? I'm sure there's multitudes of baby books out there that could be read.
No, this is way more better.
This is way more better.
Look at all the wonderful things you have, Mr. Burns. King Arthur's Excalibur, the only existing nude photo of Mark Twain, and that rare first draft of the Constitution with the word suckers in it.
Yes, yes, yes. So what?
If you could have, of any great literary author, a nude portrait that you own, who would that be?
That nobody else had?
It's the only existing one, so it's yours.
Oh, I wish I could pull that reference.
Any what?
Any
author?
Great literary writer.
Who are we talking about today?
Elena Ferrante.
Elena Ferrante. That's a good one.
Who's that? Is she hot? Are you trying to objectify
this?
You're
telling me she's not hot?
No, Elena
Ferrante. Are you objectifying this game?
She
women
is
are
a
not
pseudonym.
Objects for you to ogle at. They can write books, too.
It's a non-existent author.
It's a pseudonym. And she was famously outed this last week by the New York Books, I think.
Turns out she's a super hot babe with big old double Ds.
I refuse to look into who she actually is because I'm a class.
Ah, damn. Now I want to solve this mystery. So is she somebody who's already famous?
Yes, she's very, very famous. She
fucking
wrote,
Google!
She wrote
Can you say this woman's name one more time?
Just Google Elena Ferrante, NSFW.
I don't know how to spell this. Ferrante.
Do your best Italian accent.
Okay. I might find out who she is.
Don't tell me.
Oh, I can't believe it was Martha Stewart the whole time. Oh, how disappointing.
It's what Martha wrote while she was in jail. She Martha. Learned Italian and then wrote a book in Italian and chose a pseudonym.
Does Ann Coulter count as a
and
great
then
author?
Wrote like 10 other books.
Do you really want that? You have to store it with all of your other prized possessions.
I don't know. Mark Twain was a really good pick. Is that who it was?
Yeah. And they showed it, and it was pretty fabulous.
George R. R. Martin. That would be a sight to behold.
I think Jack just won. That's really good. I was going to go with Kurt Vonnegut the later years. That was my
That's
vote.
Good. That's good. That's
good. You always have a new wrinkle to find. There's always going to be something new.
I'm going to go with Herman Melville. Because you know about that Moby Dick.
Oh, jeez.
Woo!
Someone
call Wildin' out right now.
Herman Melville's a handsome man.
I've never looked him up before.
Oh, that was too good a bomb. It looks like Steph froze while dabbing.
Also,
she's got boom dab.
Bruce Springsteen wrote a book this week. Came out this week that I heard is quite good. So let's put him on that author list, that literary author list.
I feel like my respect for Bruce is too deep to want to do
this. It's too much of a father figure.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
Sort of feel weird.
That's the problem with Bruce. You nailed it.
If I was like 25 years older,
but I'm
like
saying
into that.
Right now, I'm looking at photos of Herman Melville. And that guy is straight out of Williamsburg, kind of handsome there.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all.
He looks like he's
another good hipster.
He's pretty ripped.
What did he write?
What?
We already made the joke.
The joke that you laughed really hard about. He wrote that one.
No, you said that was someone else.
That's Herman Melville.
No, that's what the whale wrote.
What?
Walt Whitman be a good one. There's probably nudes of Walt Whitman somewhere.
That's one, yeah, that probably exists.
That dude, dude's pretty racy for his time.
Howard Zinn, I bet those exist.
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
People's History.
Oh, okay.
How about Jane Austen?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, photo,
why are authors notorious? Are they all homely, aren't they?
No.
There's hot authors?
Oh. I mean, you get married and pop out babies and try to write a book.
I did put 3 or 4 water bottles in my sweater pocket today and pretend to be pregnant.
That was funny.
I really can't figure out if there's an author who's known for being hot. I think there's people in every other like form of arts that are probably known for being hot. I don't think authors have one.
John Williams.
No, like, but they're... I'm not saying every artist is hot. I'm saying every medium has hotties. Like, obviously, if you're going to march out the hotties of music, you're not going to bring out John Williams.
10 out of 10. Yes, you would.
I know John Williams. He's a 10.
He's a fucking... He's a 10. I grabbed his pussy.
Beautiful man. Beautiful.
Married man. Tried to buy him furniture.
I'd like to have a little locker room talk with John Williams, if you know what I mean. I like that my Trump became a half George Burns. I started using my pen as a cigar.
I like that you're doing George Burns now.
Anyway, oh God, there's still some stuff on this episode I probably needed to hit. But I stood my ground, and I think it was pretty good. I want to get you guys. Well, you guys, you didn't really get a chance to give feedback on the episode. Okay, I can take a no. We all agreed on this list together.
I can't sort of read my handwriting.
The most important thing is I can't read my handwriting. Let's see what we got here. I bet this will be good.
Why do some episodes not have chalkboard gags and other gags, and they just
hanger in shirt and pants?
Wait!
Bit.
Slow down.
Bit.
You got to throw too many things at me once. I can answer the first one. It's
time, right?
It's time. Yeah, you have to make it exactly 22 minutes and whatever.
But now, yeah, okay. I thought so, but I wanted there to be a deeper meaning.
I don't think so. I would guess with 90% certainty that's the reason. Hanger in the shirt
and pants
with no
pants.
Reason. That was awesome.
Who puts their pants on in a hanger?
Hold on. To a certain extent, has happened to me. So I identify and I understand.
Josh is dumb.
I've never had a hanger in my clothes when I got to work. What I have had is our uniform shirts at private school. In elementary school, used to have a lot of cardboard in them that held like the collars in place. I'm pretty sure I made it through the first couple weeks of first grade without getting the cardboard out of my collar and just assuming it was supposed to be that uncomfortable.
Welcome to manhood, boy.
I guess I'm a man now.
Get a stiff neck on you. Get you ready for the military.
This is why office humor really hit home.
I was in it already, man. So anyway, worst, back to your notes.
What came out of my pants and stuff a lot was mom's stupid underwear.
Yeah. Or like a sock.
Yeah, a sock. But mom had this underwear that is like, I don't know, it's lady underwear. It's like polyester
it's mom underwear.
And shit.
Everybody
it's
knows mom. If you just say mom underwear, we all know what
but
that
is. But it's not cotton. It's like polyester satin shit.
Yeah, and 90s mom underwear.
Always get stuck to your shit.
Do you think that underwear was really comfy?
Very embarrassing episode once. Must be. I think she still wears
well,
it.
Okay. Well, okay. Let me ask a question. Because I'm not a lady. I don't have lady underwear. That underwear is out. Entirely. Like, can you even buy that underwear without it being like expensive, sexy, like hustler store underwear?
What?
Because that was like normal.
Girls or boys?
What? For girls.
Girls or boys?
That was normal old lady underwear. In
the first questions first. Give me the address to the hustler store.
It's on, I think, 13th Street in downtown Cincinnati.
They're really?
Yeah. We have two
you
of them.
Oh, wow.
They're around the corner from each other.
Business is booming.
Yeah.
Get those. Someone's still buying those DVDs.
Yeah. So anyway, back to... can you buy this underwear is what I'm getting at.
Sure.
Where? Okay. Is it still just old ladies? Was it a 90s thing? I'm just trying to figure it out.
I mean, it's not going to... I mean, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know how to explain underwear.
Like, can you say, would anyone your age ever just be wearing that underwear one day when they're just wearing their regular comfy underwear?
Well, now they have like this microfiber stuff.
Oh, are you talking about the super comfortable modal fabric that a certain company that I won't name until they give us money provides that I'm wearing right now?
It's like a little more, it's like sort of satiny, but it's not as satiny. And
I think like this
stretchy.
Underwear by a certain company I'm wearing right now is what you're talking about.
Is it just, into that stuff because it's new underwear? And I feel like these companies have figured out that like nobody's bought new underwear since they were in high school. And
that's
you just buy a
new
pair.
Let me tell you something. When I go back to my Fruit of the Loom, like regular boxer briefs, I feel like a goddamn animal. I feel like I'm swimming in like a burlap sack. I can't get through the day.
Stephanie's gotten me some new underwear recently that I'm really into. I don't know.
I buy most of his clothes.
Is it from a certain company we will not name? Oh, because...
No, I figured out... I've solved fashion. I just have to go buy...
He just got married, and his wife buys his clothes for him.
No, I bought myself the best piece of clothing I've ever owned
Josh
in my
has
entire
it too.
Life. Dude, I bought a suit jacket that is made out of sweater material last week.
Oh, yeah.
That shit is the bomb.
I love it. I have the same one, probably.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Is it from a certain Japanese store that is kind of
racist,
like Old Navy?
Racist, but yes.
Racist.
Is it a Japanese?
It's Japanese.
Yeah.
Just comfortable throwing that out there, I see. Okay, you cuck.
On that note, okay, I've got one more thing I just got to throw out there. Do you guys think that Mr. Burns on the second floor of his house has a Scrooge McDuck-like swimming pool of money?
Oh, hell yeah, he does, pimp. Although, why have I never seen it?
How much money?
I love seeing millionaires cartoon swimming money.
I that was my instant thought. I just want to make sure I'm right on that.
Okay.
when that floor gave out and all that money came down.
It's definitely
like swimming pool of money, dude. Like I know what that's like.
You can see this place is falling apart.
I don't know. I don't know about placing this on a list, but I'm cool with it.
I'm good.
We also haven't seen one in months, so
yeah.
Big ups too. I had you guys get the iMac fixed.
But it didn't. Studio got shut down.
Oh, you just got it back. It wasn't broken.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't broken.
But you know, at least that means this happens again.
Woo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, since this is the new segment of the show. It's called our poo-poo platter, where we serve up everybody who we want to take a dump on.
I like this.
Which is always and forever our favorite internet service provider to hate, Cincinnati Bell, who, speaking of sponsorships, if they'll pay us to stop saying it, I'll stop telling people how awful their service is. That's the only one I got. They're just always at the top.
I don't have any.
That's
somehow
good.
Somehow I haven't gotten an email from Gmail since October 1st.
Well,
I don't know why. Put them on the poo-poo platter.
Serving them up.
You don't pay them anything.
Google,
except for all your data.
Yeah.
But
Google's hard to be mad at. They give me a lot.
They take a lot from you.
I'm not. It's... My identity's worth nothing.
I wasn't using it anyway.
Anyway. All right, let's wrap this up. So that was rank number 12.
Oh, got it. Uh-oh. Poo-poo platter. New York Jetropolitan's taking another dump on the football gridiron. Put him on the poo-poo platter. Get behind this.
We got Jack going.
This is a good segment.
Yeah.
Does it feel good just to let him out? Just let him get that big old poo-poo dump on him. Okay, so that was rank 12, season 5, episode 4, Rosebud. I give it a out of meh.
Well put.
That's this episode. And as always, gotta thank the Sidekicks for letting us use their song DMT to just make dumb jokes after every time it plays during the week.
It's the best.
And thanks to the Simpsons for being more and more mediocre the farther we go up this list than we remember it being.
And I would just like to add,
I like to listen to our podcast every week just so I can hear DMT.
I don't blame you. It makes me feel good about my day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to add that Allie Gertz and Julia Prescott from Everything's Coming Up podcast are a bunch of cooks. Put them on the poo-poo platter.
<A-boom>. Slam down. All right, I'm going to email this podcast to them. Jump to minute 50 and so many seconds. It's a really great joke. You guys are going to love it.
Well, he didn't get any money, but Mr. Burns got what he wanted. Marge, I'm confused. Is this a happy ending or a sad ending?
It's an ending. That's enough.